So we could just make a brief comment on the first reading, just reminding ourselves that the early followers of Jesus knew very well that following the way of Jesus Christ was not a way of ease and comfort, as we see the apostles beaten and whipped and imprisoned. So we're just reminded of that. The gospel brings us into this truth. As we get closer to the end of the Easter season, the readings are chosen on purpose. Like this coming week is going to be Ascension of the Lord. Our Lord ascends into heaven and promises the Holy Spirit. So today's reading technically came from the Last Supper, like before the death of Jesus. And you can read what he said in light of the fact that, yes, he's going and he's going to die. But you can also read it that he was speaking in light of the ultimate going away, like the Ascension. I'm going, but I will send the Advocate to you. So imagine him revisiting these same conversations he had with the apostles at the Last Supper, bringing them up again and saying, this is what I mean. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to be with you. And how important it was. He even says, it's better for you that I go, so that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. So it seems very important to our Lord that we receive this gift. It's always hard to talk about the Holy Spirit. He's always called the great unknown. This is kind of a lot there, but hard to put into words. So I'm going to let St. Cyril of Alexandria help us out. One of his early commentaries, he's like very early, hundreds, 100, 200 AD. With regard to our unity in the Spirit, because it's important for us to realize, like, something happened at your baptism. Something happened at the reception of the Holy Spirit. It's not just an empty ritual, and our life is not our own anymore, but the Spirit is within us. St. Cyril says, I shall follow the same line of reasoning to say again, to begin with, that we have all received one and the same Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. And in a certain sense, therefore, we are mingled with one another and with God. So we share in God's divinity, but we also, because we all share in that, it's a mathematical equation of A equals B and B equals C and A equals C. Okay, anyway, so we're all united as one in the Holy Spirit. Sorry, that was geometry for you. But nevertheless, that Spirit that we all share is one and indivisible. Because of his peculiar mode of being, he binds together into a unity all the spirits that are broken off from the common unity. We're far away from each other, scattered. He binds us together. And in himself, he makes all men appear again as one, not divided. We're one family in Christ. For just as the power of the sacred flesh, the body of Christ, unites into one body all who receive it, that's why we call it Holy Communion, so too I maintain the one Holy Spirit is not divided among all those in whom he has come to dwell, but brings all men into one spiritual unity. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. That's why St. Paul would say, forbearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Am I after that unity? Do I seek that unity in my marriage, in my family life, in how I live out the church, how I read the news about what's going on in the world, how I read the news about what's going on in the church? Am I pursuing unity in the bond of peace? Or am I ignoring the Spirit and am I becoming a source of division in the church, a division in the community? There is one body and one Spirit, St. Paul says, just as you were called to one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Lord and Father of us all, who is above all and through all, he's just quoting St. Paul. For since one Spirit, St. Cyril says, one Spirit dwells within us, the one Father of all will be in us as our God, holding together through his Son, with one another and with him, all who share in the Spirit. We're bound together. Do you believe that? Well, I don't like my neighbor because he doesn't think the way I do. Well, get over yourself and believe in the Spirit more than your personal opinions, because the Spirit's unity is more real than the opinions that divide us. If we put aside the way of flesh, the natural way of life, and surrender once for all to the laws of the Spirit, if we change before we tell other people they need to change, it is incontrovertible that by denying our own life and assuming the heavenly form of the Holy Spirit, so that he becomes woven into our being, we are transformed. Before we tell the whole world outside, the church needs to change, the popes need to change, we need to change. We are transformed, so to speak, into another nature, the divine nature. We are no longer just men and women of the flesh, but sons and daughters of God. We receive the name of heavenly men, heavenly women. because we were made partakers of that divine nature. Do you believe this? Does it change how you make decisions? Therefore, we are all one in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one in identity of relationship, one in a likeness revealed in devotion, and one in receiving the holy flesh and body of Christ, and in sharing the one Holy Spirit. So we get ready for Pentecost in a couple weeks. We want to renew our awareness of what happened at your baptism, my baptism, what was given to me, and has it even changed me? Have I allowed that seed of grace to grow into a strengthening, influential mustard seed in my actions, my activity, how I deal with my brothers and sisters, how I look at the church, how I fulfill my role in the church, a role towards unity, overcoming the divisions that separate us, of which there are so many in this day and age. May our Blessed Mother intercede for us to receive that gift of God anew, to renew our awareness of the Spirit in our lives, to renew our decision to follow the movements of the Spirit, not of the flesh. A Spirit that builds unity, a Spirit that helps us overcome ourselves and overcome all that separates us. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.